So I'm joined by Bishop David Oakley, Bishop of Northampton, and our lead for marriage and family life here at the Catholic Bishops Conference in England and Wales. Bishop David, how are you?
I'm fine, James, thank you.
So look, we've had the World Meeting of Families, which was very much a local affair this time, even though it took place in Rome, I guess because of the pandemic and other things, and possibly even the Holy See looking at a different model of more local engagement. Now, this also concluded the Year of the Family, which marked the fifth anniversary of Amoris Laetitia, which seems like rather a long time. I can't believe it's been 5 years since that document was released. And it obviously follows a synod, doesn't it? Or in this case, two synods where we focused on family life. And this is the sort of condensed summary of all those discussions that took place over a few years, isn't it?
I think the most important aspect of this particular one, Amoris Laetitia, is that it came out during the Year of Mercy. And that's not just an accidental. I'm sure that Pope Francis deliberately produced this particular text for us to consider during the Year of Mercy. In fact, he says as much at the beginning of the text. So this is his reflection on the final document released by the bishops after these two synods. And it is a very important text for us to consider.
Now, we've taken it on from there, in a sense, now in 2022, some 5 years later, and the Bishops' Conference is releasing a document called The Joy of Love, Amoris Laetitia. But this is more a series of reflections, isn't it, on those key themes, joy, love, realities and discernment, and mission. So it's not an exhaustive commentary as such on Amoris Laetitia. These are, I guess, experience-led reflections, aren't they? But the question I have first of all is, why are we looking at this now? 5 years on?
Well, James, you mentioned earlier that we've just recently experienced one of the regular world meetings of families. Of course, the pandemic messed up everything, really, including this particular experience. It came later than it was expected to. And I think it's very important to look at it within a broader dynamic, because quite often we think that these things are happening in the local diocese rather than in Rome because of the pandemic, because of the difficulties in travel. That's definitely a little part of it. But more importantly, the dicastery responsible for marriage and family life wanted it to be a kind of Rome at home experience, really. They wanted the experience to be embedded in the local churches, the diocese. Because they really did want us to take this seriously. It's not just a jamboree in Rome for a few days and then everybody goes back to normal life. They want us to try and incarnate the teaching of Amoris Laetitia in the life of diocesan marriage and family life commissions and those Catholic organizations which have a charism for marriage and family life. So the reason why we're looking at Amoris Laetitia now is because it itself was the preparatory document in so many ways for the World Meeting of Families. And the Holy Father asked us to take a year just to reflect on the teaching of this important document. And it has to be said that it received initially a very mixed reception. Not everybody was happy with the content of it. But we need to see the whole document as a whole. And having a year to revisit the text and to study it again gave us the opportunity to discover the riches within it. Now, here in England and Wales, our Committee for Marriage and Family Life has three work streams, and the work stream that's responsible for theological reflection decided, really discerned, I think would be a more appropriate word, that we shouldn't produce a commentary that would be divisive. So we decided just to take some major themes in the text and put those forward, drawing very much upon the theology that underpins the text.
And what would you say, I mean, in an ideal world, which this isn't, what would you want those reflections to achieve? How would you want people to receive them?
A lot of people may not have the time or the wherewithal to read the whole text of Amoris Laetitia. We would be hoping that couples and families might come across this text and feel encouraged to really reflect upon it. So I would say these thoughts, as indeed the post-synodal apostolic exhortation itself, Amoris Laetitia, should be read in a contemplative way. It's not a piece of text that you read in your head, as it were, and then allow questions of an academic nature to rise up in one's mind. I think it's a text that one receives in one's heart. And I think for our brothers and sisters who have the vocation for marriage and family life, that this is a very important moment, an opportunity to contemplate the mystery of love within marriage and family life, and to grow, therefore, in their sense of discipleship, because that's the core of it. That's the center of this document, that this is a vocation. Marriage and family life is a very important vocation in the church. Of course, family life is experienced in many different ways today, and not everybody who's married is able to experience their own family life. But for those who are married and for those who have families, there is much in the text itself and in our reflections upon it as a committee that would help us to encounter the reality of God in the midst of marriage and family life.
Now, I've been looking through it, actually, because I have rather a large family myself, and families are full of joy on the whole, but can experience pain and messiness. And I guess these reflections, I did notice there are a few sort of questions afterwards for reflection, and it's not a flow chart, is it, family life? If this, then that, or if this, then yes, if that, then no. It's not quite as simple as that. So I found that quite useful. So it's not really ducking the tough issues either. It's acknowledging they are there, isn't it?
Well, my own experience of a family growing up, it's more a gush chart than a flow chart, I'd say. You know, it was, but I think, look, James, it begins, the document begins as one might expect. The title is In the Light of the Word. Everything that we do, every experience of discipleship, we have to reflect upon in the light of God's word, what God has revealed to us. But very quickly then, in chapter 2, which is entitled The Experiences and Challenges of Families, there's a real engagement here of what you might call theological reflection and experience. There's an attempt in the synodal process to understand the reality of marriage and family life, recognizing, of course, that within a universal church, there's a huge divergent panoply of experiences for us to reflect upon. How we experience family life here in the UK might not be the same as they do in other parts of the world. But wherever you are in the world, there are certain fundamental experiences and challenges to it which we need to reflect upon.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, also the document points out rightly that love is a wonderful thing. But I guess some of us may well have family members that aren't feeling the joy of love, might even feel a bit unloved, actually. Is this something that's acknowledged, and is any help offered, suggestions and so forth in the document?
Yes, we have to get to chapter 8, which is entitled Accompanying, Discerning and Integrating Weakness. It is quite refreshing, perhaps to some of us anyway, with our feet on the pastoral ground, to see in some of these ecclesial documents these days a recognition of weakness, something which was part of my life for a number of years before coming here, is the whole experience of forming men for priestly ministry and life. And there's a beautiful article within the Ratio Fundamentalis for priestly formation, which talks about integrating the graces and gifts of the Spirit at work in a man with his limitations and frailties. And I think we have the same dynamic at work here in this particular text. It's not just putting forward the perfect ideal of family life. I'll leave you to decide, James, and everybody else listening to this, whether that's an experience you can understand and reflect, or whether, in fact, it seems to be totally idealistic. But that ideal is certainly presented when you look at an earlier chapter chapter 4, which talks about love in marriage, and clearly from the subtitles, is based upon that wonderful hymn to love in 1 Corinthians 13. So the ideal is always there. And I think a good way to meditate on that text is for a couple to say, can they exchange the word love for their own names? You know, can James say to his wife, James is patient, James is at the service of others? Gently leaving that one to one side, we recognize that in chapter 8, there is an understanding of the real challenges that there are within family life. There's no dodging the issue whatsoever. And I think we have some very powerful and customary Pope Francis ideas at work here in the ideas of accompaniment and discernment. This is an ongoing journey. Synodality means journeying together. Family life is certainly journeying together through the joys and the hopes and the fears and anxieties of family life. And with that Ignatian spirituality background, Pope Francis is inviting us to accompany families and in that way to be able to discern where the Spirit of God is at work in those families. And also, again, within an Ignatian context, to see where the bad spirit is at work in family life.
And I guess that's a very good personal challenge you've laid down to me there. I'm not sure I can say I'm calm much of the time. So much to work on for me in my marriage and my family life. But yeah, it does sound very interesting. I shall go through it with my family and we'll see where we get to with those reflections. Bishop David, thank you very much. This will be on the Bishop's website, the Bishop's Conference website, cbcew.org.uk, and we'll signpost that prominently from the homepage. So we would certainly hope, would we not, that our Catholic families out there have a good read and engage with it with an open mind.
Amen.